You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. To follow up on that last story, we reached out to Elizabeth Rogers. She's Associate Clinical Director of the Intensive Care Nursery at UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with her to hear more about the preterm birth initiative and to learn what technologies and medical techniques are being used to save the most vulnerable premature babies.
So since the preterm birth initiative began a few years ago, what are the goals and outcomes and timeline for the project?
Well, there are several aims that the PTBI is striving to accomplish, and one of them is discovery and one of them is intervention. So we want to learn as much as we can about preterm birth, which can then lead us to developing specific precision-based interventions for babies and for families. But the way that they've approached the research is very innovative and really first of its kind. And what they've done is they've engaged families, true stakeholders in this, to tell them what they care about so that the research can be done with their priorities in mind, so that the work is more relevant, more meaningful to those folks who are really impacted the most by preterm birth.
And more personal.
Absolutely. Learning about their experience and considering them experts in their experience.
So I actually have personal connection with this because my children, I have twins who are 15 now, but they were premature babies themselves. They were born at just after 31 weeks of gestation, and they were in the UCSF neonatal intensive care unit for 3 weeks. And I had a lot of personal experience with kids who were of all kinds of different ages and all kinds of different conditions, had a lot of different health issues. There was actually a whole other wing besides where my kids were, which is sort of the healthy wing. Just incredible interventions that take place, even fetal surgeries. So I was wondering what you could tell me about the state now and, you know, over the course of UCSF's work of technology and medical work in helping babies survive.
What we think is that truly improvement in technology, particularly around pulmonary technology, so this is breathing, lung development, that was the first step. That's what we needed to figure out in order to increase survival in these babies. And these technologies, particularly, you know, 20 years ago, were pretty invasive. They involved putting a breathing tube into the baby's windpipe, having them breathe on machines.
And we're probably talking about 4-pound, 5-pound babies.
Oh, we're talking about 1-pound babies, 2-pound babies, 3-pound babies. And we found that with these machines, we could support their lungs so that they could develop like they would have if the baby had remained inside, and then eventually we could take them off the machines. But what we increasingly learned over the last decade or two is that these machines that we used to support them also harmed them. And so where our work has really focused the last 10 to 20 years is on brain development. And recognizing that every intervention we have on these really tiny babies who should be inside developing every day, changing, they're then in our care unexpectedly. And we're using machines. They're being touched. They can hear sound. They're seeing lights when they really shouldn't have been. And every interaction they have with their environment can have an impact on how their brain wires itself.
That's Dr. Elizabeth Rogers. She's Associate Clinical Director in the Intensive Care Nursery at UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital in San Francisco. I've always been really fascinated since I was in the NICU about some of the work that's done to help the most fragile or, you know, kids who have the most damage that needs to be addressed survive. What's a case that you could think of maybe the smallest baby that you've known that you guys have been able to save?
We have one baby who is now actually almost 10 years old, and she was on a ventilator. So she was on a machine to help her breathing. She was on a special ventilator because her lungs were so fragile.
How early was she?
She was 26 weeks. Oh. So just between 25 and 26 weeks.
Rather
gestation.
Than the 40 that is kind of expected, right?
Correct. So 14 weeks early. And she was small as well, even for her young age. And she had a blood vessel in her heart that commonly closes when full-term babies are born. They take a big deep breath. Their heart realizes, I don't need that blood vessel anymore, and it closes. Well, preemies think they need to hold on to that blood vessel because they don't realize that they're born already. But it can then cause problems for them. So for her, we were constantly weighing, should we do a big surgery and close this blood vessel and try to get her off the ventilator? Or should we talk to her family about the fact that she might not survive? And we had these discussions over the course of weeks. And at one point, we just decided we had to try the surgery.
Meanwhile, I mean, because she was born at that point, right? So how was she kept during that time?
She was in an isolette. So we have small little plastic rooms almost, little beds that babies sleep in. She had a breathing tube in her windpipe on a breathing machine. She had cords and monitors. She had special IVs. She had special lines that went into her umbilical cord. She also had brain injury. She had bleeding on one side of her brain that was on the more severe end. And so her family was confronted with very challenging, impossible decisions that they had to make regarding her care.
And this is a baby that's the size of a doll or something, right?
Oh, very tiny. Could fit in the palm of her dad's hand. Mm-hmm. And while we're discussing her, you know, her chances of surviving, we really feel that we can't just discuss survival, that we need to discuss long-term challenges she may have. So we had very difficult discussions. Our job is to be as honest as we can, even when it's really bad news we might be sharing, but to also recognize that we don't have a crystal ball and we can't always predict which preterm babies will have challenges and which won't. So in this case, we decided to go ahead and do the surgery. But within a week, we were able to take her off the breathing machine, and she went home around her due date. And I've been lucky enough to follow her. So she is a brilliant preteen. She speaks three languages. She, because of the bleeding in her brain, does have a very, very, very mild asymmetry in her neurologic exam that if you were not a neurologist, you would never notice. One of the typical things that our babies do have a challenge with is attention and focus. And the way that I explain it to families is because that second trimester is a time that the brain is making all of these connections. These synapses are coming together and they're truly making millions and millions of them as the brain is rapidly developing. Then the third trimester, they're supposed to prune away the connections they don't need, but because they're exposed to the world, they don't know what to prune away. So they hold on to all these connections. And when you're in second grade and trying to focus on the teacher and your friends are all having conversations, you really pick up on those because you have all this extra firing going on in your brain. So the way I explain it to families is it's a superhero brain. It's sort of a superpower that you have that you need to figure out how to use for good.
So in the work that you do with the smallest people that there are, literally, what do you find most fulfilling about your job?
I find that walking with parents at this really uncertain time is really rewarding for me. It's very challenging. It can be emotionally difficult. But as long as we're honest with families about our concerns, then we can really share their hopes. And it's such a beautiful relationship to be able to form at a really critical time. And we can take the best care of a baby that we possibly can using all the technology. But if you don't understand how this extreme preterm birth may have impacted this family for the rest of their lives, then we can't fully prepare them for it. Interestingly, one of the most evidence-based practices in neonatology is not steroids or mechanical ventilation or different neuroprotective medications. It's actually putting a baby skin to skin on his mom or dad's chest. And yet we've developed these isolettes, these little plastic beds that they sleep in.
Just even in the name of it, it's like isolation chambers.
Outside of their family unit. But then we find, look, if we take them out and put them on their parent, they do better. We need to go back to the basic needs that this baby would have had in utero to be one unit with his mom. So that's really where our efforts are focused. How can we do that in a safe way for our smallest and most vulnerable babies?